Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
It is a lively Monday live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, 1 hour from now, plenty of both, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong on a Monday. I got to tell you something, but between NBA basketball, between the Logan Paul fight with Mayweather, between the United States men's national team, what a crazy Sunday. That soccer match was nuts, and people throwing water bottles at our guys. That was nuts.
I didn't see all the people talking about how they shouldn't be throwing water bottles. It's not a big deal last night. They're throwing the souvenir cups. My goodness, it got out of hand. But that was a great sports weekend.
Oh, it was a great Sunday and a great sports weekend. And such a pleasure to have you in. Lots of choices out there. Well, the Clippers won. They're a strange franchise. This was a strange series, and their superstar is a strange guy. First time ever, both teams lost all their home games for the first six games, and then the champ of the series wins the home game, game seven. And I'm still not sure if I like the Clippers. Love Kawhi when he's engaged. Friday, he was LeBron-esque, 45 points, 18 of 25 shooting in an NBA playoff game. Sunday, he was near perfect, 28, 10, and 9. If you go to games 6 and 7, I mean, this is LeBron in his prime. Kawhi shot 100% from the free throw line, 50% on threes, and 70% from the field, and was the top defender, guarded Luka. That is LeBron in his prime. But my takeaway is, why did it take this long? The Clippers won 47 games in the regular season, and that's with Kawhi missing 20 and Paul George missing, 18? They were the much better team. Their coach, had, you know, the Clippers had won a championship, and their bench is better, and their star is a veteran star, and their number two is better, and they're deeper, and this went seven. I know Clipper fans want to throw a parade today, but because this series went seven, you have to face Utah and Utah tomorrow. And you're going to lose that, and you're going to be digging yourself out of another hole. You know, Kawhi Leonard, we all know this. He started, I mean, it got termed once he did it, load management, where he just, you're not quite sure if the body's right. He takes 20 games off a year in his prime. Like, this is his prime. This isn't LeBron in year 18. This is his prime. But Kawhi also appears to take load management games mentally when he plays, but he's just kind of drifting around, and he's giving you about 65, 70%. He wasn't guarding Luka for the first several games in this series. Didn't LeBron always just embrace that challenge and say, D-Wade, embrace that challenge? The greats embrace that challenge, the Kevin Garnetts. He's just an interesting cat. So this morning I wake up and my question is, do I like the Clippers? No, I just like Kawhi when he's completely engaged. He is the best get a basket and get a stop guy in the NBA. There's no doubt. I've been saying that for years. You need a stop, he's it. You need a basket, he's it. But remember, As your Clipper parade is working its way down Main Street, they lost in the second round last year. And if they lose against Utah, this is a deep, talented Utah team with home court advantage, great coach. They shoot 3-point. Unlike Dallas, Utah plays defense. Unlike Dallas, a lot of these stars, Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley, they've been around a long time. Now Utah does not have a matchup for Kawhi, so he has got to be engaged. Game one, because this team is much better than Dallas. They've got more star power, more than one guy who can hit a three. I mean, Luka was exhausted by the fourth quarter in most of these games. But this morning, my question is, do I like the Clippers? Not really. I think it's a strange franchise. It was a bizarre series. It was totally fitting. And Kawhi's a different cat. And we are still, as a Clipper fan, you're still not out of the woods. They lost round two last year, and they got rid of Trez, and they fired Doc. And if they lose round two of this year, trust me, kabloom is still around the corner. So I want to talk about the Brooklyn Nets. I didn't know what I should do with my second story today, but I want to talk about the Brooklyn Nets because they're fascinating. So there's four or five things we know to be true historically in the NBA that you need. We know that this isn't an argument. Generally, like to win an NBA championship, you got to have good chemistry. It helps if your coach has coached in the playoffs before. Health is key. How many teams have we seen upended, unravel because of health? And the other thing is, you got to be a top 15 team defensively or you cannot win a championship. It's just the way it works. In fact, only one team's been out of the top 15 defensively in 30 years, won a title. That was the Shaq Kobe team. And they were actually number one in the playoffs defensively, but they were so good and so dominant, they kind of mailed it in defensively in the regular season. So these are the four things that matter. Oh, wait, Brooklyn has none of them. Kyrie, Harden, and KD played eight games total. Harden's already hurt. Steve Nash has no coaching experience in high school, college, or the pros, and their defense is 23rd. Yet they are so gifted and so skilled, they beat a Milwaukee team that has all four of those. How discouraging must that be? I'm watching that game and I'm thinking, James Harden's out in the first minute, and Brooklyn still almost effortlessly wins that game. Brooklyn is the Tesla of the NBA. Tesla does everything wrong. Elon Musk is crazy. He's a CEO. Now he's doing cryptocurrency. He's smoking pot on podcasts. J.D. Power and Associates says you'll have more problems as a Tesla owner in the first 3 months of owning it than all other 31 automakers in America. It took him 17 years to make a profit. 17 years to have a profitable year at Tesla. But every time you look at Tesla stock, you're like, yeah, it's great. It's been on fire for 4 years. They do everything wrong. But they have a brilliant guy, crazy town, but a brilliant guy running the company, and that is Brooklyn. They don't play really good defense. They don't have their health. They don't have their chemistry. Their coach has no experience. Milwaukee has all that, and they fly through them. And my takeaway is the message that sends to Damian Lillard, to Zion, to Luka, to a young Ja Morant, is don't waste your time. Go hook up with A's. I mean, what, Damian Lillard. I mean, that you're going to keep carrying B and C players? I mean, Zion. I mean, I like Lonzo Ball too, but Brooklyn's messaging is you don't have to have the perfect coach, the perfect chemistry. You can take games off. You don't even have to be healthy. There's a reason we send an all-star team to the Olympics. There's a reason AAU basketball is essentially in Atlanta, Detroit, Seattle, Dallas, Philadelphia. All the best players play on one or two teams. It's just easier. You don't have to have perfect chemistry in AAU. By the way, Kentucky's one of the winningest programs. They don't even have a senior night, just a revolving door of one-year players, and they win a bunch of games. So the basketball culture in America, the message if Brooklyn wins is chemistry, health, coaching, defense. Just go team up with really, really great players. And we've always kind of known that. But increasingly, you know, with the draft, such a crapshoot because you have no film on these kids. They're all 18 years old. I look around. And even Giannis in Milwaukee. So who's the best player in Milwaukee? Giannis. Well, he was great. Chris Middleton. 0 for 5 on threes. Chris Middleton's a B. You're trying to sell me as an A. And Chris Middleton didn't show up in game one. KD did. Kyrie did. The former A, Blake Griffin, did. Giannis did. I mean, I'm telling you, I watched Brooklyn, and my takeaway was, God, everything that matters doesn't matter when you have that much talent. It's Tesla. They do everything wrong. Stock's still going through the roof. Maybe it's a bubble. Maybe it implodes. But that was discouraging if you're Milwaukee. If Harden is out for game two, if Milwaukee loses game two with the veteran coach, with the system and the defense and the chemistry and the health, like, series over. Like that, I'm not sure. Even if you go home, I'm not sure you overcome that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
We fall for this every time. OBJ goes to Cleveland, and oh my God, it's going to change the world. And actually, he and Baker work worse together than any other tight end wide receiver combo. And Jarvis Landry's actually the more consistent performer, and it's a running team, but every OBJ to Cleveland's going to change the world. It didn't change anything in the huddle of Cleveland. So Julio Jones, really expensive, still very good, but out of his prime, goes to Tennessee, and the interweb implodes. Let me just throw some numbers at you, data and stuff. Julio Jones, 10-year average, and I'm taking, you know, 5 or 6 years in the middle in his prime. He's no longer there. He's still good, but he's no longer in his prime. 85 catches, 6 touchdowns. Now, that's with Matt Ryan. Pretty damn good. Matt Ryan's been an MVP. Ryan Tannehill never has. Matt Ryan's been to a Super Bowl. Ryan Tannehill has not. Matt Ryan had Kyle Shanahan, best offensive coordinator in a decade. Okay. So, with that, Julio Jones gives you 85 catches, 6 touchdowns. Whew, we're adding all that? Well, not really, because Tennessee just got rid of Corey Davis. Jets paid a lot for him. Corey Davis last year, 65 catches, 5 touchdowns. So Julio was 20 catches and a touchdown difference. And Julio Jones is better. I'm not arguing that. But the Titans have a new offensive coordinator. That will take some time. Julio Jones doesn't have time. He's no longer in his prime. By the way, the Titans have an emerging star at wide receiver, A.J. Brown. Yeah, he's going to get a lot of looks. The Titans, 30th in the NFL in percentage of pass plays. It's a run culture. Derrick Henry is the team. Julio Jones is great, but Julio Jones to the Titans is like having the best pool in Seattle. It sounds really cool, and there's a handful of days. It's amazing in August, but it doesn't really change your life. It's just not that available. OBJ to Cleveland. If I had to hear another NFL reporter and blogger and media person tell me how it was going to change everything, he could be the 9th most important offensive player. It's Nick Chubb. It's Jarvis Landry. It's the tight ends. It's their amazing offensive line. Expensive, increasingly brittle. Listen, Julio Jones is great. This is a run culture. Does it make Tennessee better than Kansas City? No. Buffalo? No. Cleveland's roster? Not close. I don't think it doesn't make them better than Baltimore. Baltimore appears to have solved their wide receiver issues. So this is, I like Julio Jones. I think Julio Jones is a really good player. Excellent. But he's out of his prime. Because of his expense, it will limit other things you can do. And Tennessee's O-line is not as good as it was several years ago. They lost their right tackle. They've never replaced him. Their secondary is depending on kids to solve their issues. Their pass rush is at times completely regrettable. You can sell me on Julio to Tennessee is going to change the temperature of the room. The Colts are winning that division.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the things that I think worries me about sort of the direction of discussion in America is that everybody goes to social media and everybody's an ist. You're this. You're that. You're racist. You're a bad human being. Take a deep breath. It's okay to be theoretical. I want to live in a society where you can throw out ideas and they're ridiculous and they're stupid, but they're just theoretical discussions. That's how we all grow. And if everybody's petrified to have those discussions, I think it limits us. So, yes, there are clearly bad people on social media and in America, bad actors. We're not disputing that. But we're getting to a point where we're shutting down discussions. And discussions are important that we need to have. Theoretical discussions. Thought conversations that could be absurd. I do a lot of theories. It's like a running joke at the show. Like, I just have my theories. Half are nonsense. But you benefit, I benefit, it makes us all think, right? I get smarter, hopefully you get smarter. So Peter King had one of these, and I totally disagree with it. But I think it's worthy of conversation. Peter's a smart guy. He proposed an Aaron Rodgers Packer solution. His idea, the Packers commit to trade Aaron Rodgers, but the deal will not happen until next spring. So Mark Murphy and Aaron sit down and say, let's play nice for a year and we'll trade you next spring. And they'll find an exit strategy. Okay. First of all, this would work if there was this thing called trust and Mark Murphy and the front office doesn't trust Aaron. And Aaron has made it pretty clear he doesn't trust the Packers front office. This is a very idealistic way to go about things for Peter King, who I do appreciate. First of all, here's why it wouldn't work. Number one is, it's all the media would talk about for a year. The media, let's be honest, Joy and I excluded, a lot of times are lazy. It's an easy, low-hanging fruit. It's all they would talk about. Number two is, the division he's in is weak and doesn't have a ton of drama. So this drama would be, I mean, the Packers are always the most interesting team in their division, but now they'd be the most interesting drama in the division. Number three is, announcing a deadline when you're going to trade your quarterback kills your leverage. The leverage the Packers have now is, we got Aaron Rodgers. Want him? Come get him. It is not, please turn in your Aaron Rodgers trade assignment and the teacher will grade it and pass out grades in next spring. This is a thought experiment. It's a proposal. It's theoretical. I love Peter King. But I believe when it comes to divorces, especially ones, I mean, a lot of times people aren't getting along and you go to therapy with a hope of resolution. Folks, we know because Aaron's 37 years old with two collarbone surgeries and is an expensive guy, right? He's not going to be there very long. This is an impending divorce. This is one everybody in the room knows is going to last 1 year max. They've ticked off each other. They don't trust each other. So my theory on this is rip the Band-Aid off. It's all now timing. And since the team, Green Bay, and I don't like this, I don't like franchise tags for players, but since the team has the power, they own his rights, you can choose when you want to rip the Band-Aid off. And that's just the reality of the CBA. Aaron's made a good living. Aaron's great, but he has no power here. I mean, if he holds out for a year, he loses over $35 million. I mean, if he didn't get Jeopardy, you're never going to get that money back. You're never going to get. That's why they tell college players, if you're great as a junior, go to the pros. You're never going to get that $7, $8 million back, your signing bonus or whatever it is. So to me, this is a rip the Band-Aid situation off. I think Peter King's a little idealistic here. You'd need trust. You don't have it. In a perfect world, it would be nice to say, all right, everybody, give us your best offer. But when everybody knows you got to trade somebody, I always say this in the NBA. If a player is unhappy, move him quietly. I'll give you an example. 99% of you don't know this or would not remember this. Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, was in Milwaukee. He told the Milwaukee Bucks a year before, I want out. Milwaukee didn't leak it. We didn't have the media back then. Milwaukee got a haul and was competitive for 8 to 10 years. Why? Nobody knew about it, and the Bucks worked on that puppy behind the scenes. Now, you can't do that anymore. Stuff leaks. But when somebody wants out, waiting is never the answer. Just rip it off. If I was Green Bay, I've said I'd trade him somewhere in the season trading deadline to ensure I get the right conference for him and he doesn't kick our butt, at least in PR for the first year.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like. Where Colin was right.
Anthony Davis has been wearing me out for years, and the Suns series summed up his career. In game one, he was awful. In games two and three, he was amazing. In game four, he was hurt. Game five, he didn't play. Game six, he played briefly. Get an off-season commit to your body. That's what I've been told by sources I trust. He just doesn't commit to his body, so his body doesn't commit to him. You can't be 28 years old, and these are not major injuries. It's nagging stuff. He has never made the commitment a Russell Wilson, a Brady, a LeBron has, and you're seeing the end result. He came into this season out of shape. Inexcusable. I know it's a condensed season, but that's okay for LeBron to use that, not a 28-year-old.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I guess the Clippers did not implode yet. After losing the first two games at home, I came out and said, series is over. Brush off your LinkedIn and resumes, Clipper executives. Listen, in game six and seven, Kawhi was literally perfect. In game six and seven in the fourth quarter, Kawhi was 7-for-7 on field goals, 3-for-3 on threes, and 2-for-2 on free throws. He was perfect. In the fourth quarter, he's not a verbal leader, but when he is engaged mentally and physically, there's just not much out there that compares. Kevin Durant, Kawhi, boy, the list is short. He just took over this series in the last two, three games.
Where Colin was right.
Well, Atlanta got a second-round pick, essentially, for Julio Jones. I said, this is what he is. I would give up a really, really late first-round pick for him, like the 28th or 29th pick. But the idea that he was, you know, everybody's like, you got to give a first-rounder for him. First of all, he's old, has some injuries, super expensive for a wide receiver, and the NFL, frankly, is now handing us 25 to 30 more than competent wide receivers every year because the NFL now adopts college concepts. I mean, A.J. Brown walks in the league for Tennessee. He's a star. So a second-round pick, GMs now are very tentative when it comes to wide receivers. DeAndre Hopkins, we all made fun of Bill O'Brien for a second-round pick, but that's overwhelmingly. These GMs now, why pay 23 for Julio Jones? I can pay $1 million and get a kid from Clemson in the third or fourth round.
Where Colin was wrong.
Blake Griffin. Where did that come from? That was the best game Blake Griffin has played for in years. In fact, I went back when he signed with Detroit 3 years ago. I looked this morning. I said, end of Blake Griffin's career as we know it. And I was right until this weekend. He was sensational. 18 points, 14 rebounds, played a little defense, and hit four threes. Maybe he's relaxed playing in this system. Maybe Steve Nash. I mean, the dude couldn't shoot for most of his career. The confidence Blake Griffin shot the ball in game one. I'm sorry. If that's what you get with Blake Griffin, Brooklyn's in the finals. If that's what you're getting now, that was impressive.
Where Colin was right.
Mac Jones, Patriot quarterback. Ugly OTA. Multiple reporters saying his body needs to fill out. His arm isn't very lively. Jarrett Stidham reportedly had a better practice and an OTA than the first-round quarterback from Alabama. This is always my concern with Alabama quarterbacks. They never trail in a college game. They always play with a lead. The wide receivers are all first-round picks. The offensive line is all NFL. They never get touched. They always have a great running game behind them. And, oh, yeah, they have Nick Saban. So they have the best scheme going into games. That's not the NFL. That is, even with Belichick, Tom Brady had to come from behind a lot. Tom Brady got hit. Tom Brady's wide receivers weren't open. Alabama quarterback play is the opposite of NFL quarterback play. And Mac Jones, so far, doesn't look the part.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I said before the year, boy, was I wrong. Lakers own the offseason. Yeah, that's not true. Dennis Schroeder, who I think is really talented, hot and cold. You don't know what you get. Mark Gasol, playoff career lows, appears to be mostly shot. Montrezl Harrell got in the doghouse, so He was a complete non-factor, and I've always liked him as an off-the-bench athletic big. Wesley Matthews, you know, I thought these were hits. And in the end, none of them really fit. And don't expect any of them back.
Where Colin was right?
I said, Green Bay GM Mark Murphy and the GM, because it's the Midwest and a small town, they're getting letters to their office and emails telling them nobody cares about Aaron Rodgers. Mark Murphy admitted this weekend, I'll read you the quote, Aaron has divided our fan base. The emails and, quote, letters that I've received, nobody sends letters anymore. I said, I guarantee it. They're getting letters and emails from fans. He said, the less the both sides say publicly, the better. But we're receiving letters and emails in the last month, and it has completely divided our fan base. This is why I have said I would submit to you Green Bay's playing hardball. They are hearing from local fans who are saying, let him go. He's not us. He's Hollywood. He's abandoned us. And it is playing a part. We thought it was. There it is.
Where Colin was wrong.
My NBA face bracket was a disaster. Probably the last time we do it. So the entire Western Conference was wrong 0 for 7. My NBA champ, Laker Gonzo. This is where I pick. I think the face bracket's done. 0 for 7 in the West. I pick teams based on the best player. So we call it the face bracket. And in the history of the face bracket, it's had good tournaments and bad tournaments. Disaster. May have to shelf it, at least until the NFL season.
Where Colin was right?
Well, when LeBron came to L.A., I said, folks, it's going to be 50% basketball and 50% mogul stage. It's not the same. It's not that he's not great, but he's not as agonized when he loses games. He's just not. You can see him on the bench. He lost a first-round series, first time ever, and 10 minutes later was talking about his big movie, Space Jam.
No, I think I'm going to play for the Toon Squad this summer instead of the Olympics. I think that's what that's my focus on trying to beat the Monstars or the Goon Squad, we call them now. So didn't have much success versus Sun, so now I am gearing my attention to the Goon Squad here in July, in mid-July. So I'm going to let the ankle rest for about a month, and then I'm going to gear up with Lola, Taz, Granny, Bugs, and the rest of the crew. So that, hopefully see y'all at the match.
Yeah, that would not be Magic or Kobe. That's just not kind of the way the Lakers do it. I don't think Laker fans appreciate that, but it's the reality. He had better options. Philly wanted him, Houston, well, everybody wanted him. And in the end, he chose where business would be great. And for the record, it has been great for LeBron.
Where Colin was right?
Soccer snobs, and that's almost 90% of American soccer fans, hate it when guys like me, who aren't as committed as them, can figure things out quickly in this sport. Christian Pulisic is easily the best soccer talent America's had since he was 18 years old. You watched him yesterday against Mexico. He is a ravishing talent. We've never had anything like him. I know Landon Donovan. I like Landon Donovan. Not that. Pulisic and a band of very young players are the best talent we've ever... I've been watching soccer since Kyle Rote. None of you know who that is, right? That's who they used to push us. It was a big soccer star in America. Kyle Rote Jr. Look it up. It's not that I knew Pulisic instantly was the best talent, but I was willing to go all in on it. I said, I don't want to hear about Landon Donovan. I don't want to hear about any of these guys. I don't want to hear about Clint Dempsey. Christian Pulisic is so far and away the best American soccer talent we've ever had. And finally, there's three or four other players who are in his galaxy, and why I do believe the next World Cup has the potential. We finally have offensively skilled players. We're not just about our goalie.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
To give you a sense of the urgency the Clippers now need to play for, just think about this. Golden State, next year, Klay Thompson comes back. James Wiseman, year two. the talented rookie. Lakers, well, they're gonna rebuild this, and both AD and LeBron get the longest off season they've had in a long time. Utah, they don't have a wing right now to defend Kawhi. They know it and will probably trade for one. Nuggets, Jamal Murray comes back. Mavs, they're going to find a running mate for Luka at least at the trading deadline next year. So the time is now. Like, it's set for the Clipper. Utah is an obstacle. Don't have a great wing defender. That you lucked out. The number one seed does not match up with you. Secondly, the Lakers and the Warriors. That was the big obstacle when they put this Paul George Kawhi thing together. The Lakers and the Warriors, they're both out. So of the six best players remaining in the West, I would say Kawhi is one. And then you're going to have like your Devin Bookers, your Jokic, your Chris Paul if healthy, Donovan Mitchell. Paul George is arguably six. So you've got two of the top six players, the only head coach left that's won a title. The seas have parted for the Clippers. Walk through. Also, you don't have to face a legendary culture. The Spurs culture, not in it. Lakers culture, out. The Steve Kerr Warriors culture, out. It's Utah that always comes up short. Phoenix that hasn't won forever. And Denver that has never won a title. So you're not facing this powerful system or culture. Everybody's kind of got your culture. Clippers, they come up short. This was, by the way, what the Lakers got last year. The Lakers got breaks. Remember, the Lakers got a bunch of breaks last year. The Clippers were an obstacle. They fell apart. Houston was an obstacle. The Warriors were an obstacle. They fell apart physically. So you have to understand the urgency of this moment. This is a really nice parting of the seas for the Clippers. The Lakers are out. Warriors are out. The big cultures are out. And the Jazz don't actually match up with you very well. That's usually not the case. Usually a number one seed's got most of the answers. I like the Jazz a lot. They do not defend the wing very well. They may by next year, because it's a well-run organization that generally finds their flaws and delivers on it over time.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Steven Jackson played in the NBA for a long, long time, 15 years in the NBA, 6 playoff appearances. He joined us now live. So be honest, I did, you know, it's funny, Steven, to win in the playoffs, there's usually 4 or 5 things you need. You know this from San Antonio. You got to play defense. Well, Brooklyn's not great defensively. You have to have pretty good chemistry. Well, hell, those guys barely play together. You got to have your health. Oh, James Harden's hurt. You have to have a coach that's been around the block. Steve Nash has never coached even in high school, head coach. And I look at Brooklyn, Steven, and I'm like, they don't have anything you're supposed to need to win in the playoffs, but they're so ridiculously talented. It's like AAU basketball. They just got more dudes. Could they win this series without James Harden, in your opinion?
You also need some luck. Luck is a big part of it, too. Every team that's won a championship has something going in their favor that didn't have something to do with the game. They definitely have a chance. You know, when you have KD and Kyrie on this team, you know, these guys can get it done. But I don't see it being easy or even – it's going to be hard without James. Just put it like that. They need James to win this series. I don't see them winning it without James, obviously. They had 2 games against Milwaukee. The last 2 games they played in regular season against Milwaukee, they needed James. And that's the reason why they got beat. I mean, Giannis averaged 40 on them the last 2 games. So, and he had a great game last game.
Yep.
I think the reason why they won was because of Blake. Blake played. Blake was the enforcer. Blake was physical. Blake was diving on the floor. And you need somebody to hit them in the mouth, and Blake was that guy. Not having James takes a big dynamic away from the team because they don't have that playmaker that's going to make plays, that's going to get that triple-double. And James was a guaranteed triple-double. James was my MVP before he got hurt. So even though they have KD and Kyrie, they're going to miss James. This is going to be a real hard task for them to come out the series without him.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. To your point, James has really been the glue on that franchise. So I was saying this morning about the Clippers. I know they won the series, but good God, why did it take 7 games? They're better. They're deeper. They've got the championship coach. There's something about the Clippers and Kawhi, maybe that he's nonverbal. He's the opposite of you. You talk. You're emotional. You emote. I never know what I'm getting from Kawhi. Do you trust the Clippers going forward?
Yeah, I do. One thing about it, when the playoffs come, regardless of what happened, when it clicks, it clicks. The Clippers really never had an identity. This series, they had to find the identity. Guys found their role. Role players make big shots and took big shots. Paul George played off Kawhi. Kawhi is the best player on the team, and Paul George has to be his Robin. And I think they're starting to figure out their identity. Ty Lue did a great job of making adjustments games 6 and 7.
Yeah.
That's why they won the series. Rick Carlisle, he's my guy, but he didn't make no adjustments. Luka dominated all year, and they won games all year with a one-man band. You can't do that in the playoffs, and that's the reason why they're home vacationing right now, getting ready to go on a fishing trip.
Yeah. You know, Luka, it's interesting because Porzingis, to me, is just a wildly overpaid three. Hardaway's more of a three. I don't think they have a two. I would be willing with Luka. And here's kind of how, Steve, and I think about it. Like, Portland's never gotten Dame a two. They keep trying to tell you they got twos. Nurkic isn't a two. I would give up everybody to get Luka a two, but it may take a special kind of player. Where do you think Dallas is at going forward? Are they just going to end up being like the Dirk Mavs, which is one great guy and a bunch of disparate parts?
Yeah, and I don't think they can afford that right now, because you're doing a disservice to Luka and everything he's doing. You have to break that team up and bring some more players in there. You have a team full of average guys. And don't get me wrong, Porzingis is not the only $100 million player in the league that plays like he don't care and don't play with no passion.
Right.
The NBA is full of $100 million players that's not really doing nothing in the league. So they need to find some guys that appreciate the game, that are willing to go out there and put their body on the line and play with passion to give Luka some help. But you need more than one piece over there. They got a lot of average guys over there, and it showed in the last couple games in this series.
You know, it's funny, Steven. The game is so different today than it was 15 years ago. The minute they took out the hand check, it's not as physical. You can't stand in front of any of these guards now. And a prime example is LaMelo Ball walks into this league and gives you 20 a night. And I'm like, what? And Trae Young, when he broke into this league, my first impression was he can't guard anybody. He's tiny. And he's a monster. Do you like? I mean, it's almost like now you can win playing finesse basketball. Like, it, the rules have stipulated it. Does that drive you nuts? Or do you just, I mean, do you like watching the game? I watch Atlanta and I'm like, Trae Young's unstoppable. Ja Morant's unstoppable. Would you make the league more physical today? Teams like the Knicks are fun, but they got such a low ceiling, they don't have guys that can shoot.
Right. Well, I think they took the physicality away from the game. If you see any other time with Trae Young being a small, I'm a big fan of Ice Trae. But if I was on that team, I'd tell Danny Green, let him come one time, drive to the lane, and I'm going to lay him down. I'm going to lay him down, make him hit the floor one good time. That's just a part of the game. It's not being dirty. It's just a part of the game. And the game is so soft. As you see when Brooklyn, when Blake stepped over Giannis's brother, him and T just had a couple words, and they gave them both texts. Like, they taking away the trash talking. They taking away the fun out of basketball, and that's what you see. You see a lot of soft plays. The guys don't really want to touch guys. But guys like Kawhi, he gets it. Guys are so talented today, you can't stop anybody. You just have to make it difficult for them.
Yeah.
And that's what Kawhi did for Luka to be able to get out that series.
Let's go back to the Clippers, because I think Utah is one of those teams we don't talk about. I always compare them to Gonzaga. Until they win a title, nobody's going to trust them. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't. Gonzaga went 31-1, and all we want to talk about is the loss to Baylor, not when they crushed everybody else. But that's fair, because same with Utah. It's like LeBron joked, nobody picked them when we were kids on video games. Nobody picked Utah guys. Like, I get it. They don't win the title. I don't think they can stop Kawhi. They don't have a wing defender. But I will say this, they shoot the hell out of the three. Unlike Dallas, they defend. They're deep. They're not like Dallas. They got six guys that can hit a three. Give me your thoughts on that Clippers series with Utah and what kind of transpires, Steven.
It's going to be interesting to see what the Clippers big man can do. Is Serge going to be healthy? Is Boogie Cousins going to get a chance? That's what's going to matter. They're going to have to take Rudy Gobert out the game. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell is going to be great. And think about the Utah guard players. They play together.
Yeah.
all around the wing. They play together. They share the ball. It's a lot of one-on-one with the Clippers, but they're going to need to get take Rudy Gobert out the game, put DeMarcus Cousins in there, let DeMarcus Cousins bang him up and dunk on him a couple of times. They're going to need everybody. They're going to need their big man in this series. They played a whole bunch of smalls against Dallas because Dallas don't have a dominant big man. Well, Utah does, and I think that's going to be the tell of the series. What big man is more dominant?
Finally, when LeBron lost to the Suns, 10 minutes later, he went to the podium and talked for, you know, 3 or 4 minutes about Space Jam. And I said, I'm like, man, that ain't Kobe. That ain't Michael. Like, is it a fair criticism to say with LeBron now, he has just moved into basketball's about half of its stage? I mean, I love him as a player, and I think he'll come back and have a good year. But when LeBron did that Space Jam thing, now I'm an old guy, so I think to myself, oh, that doesn't work for me at all. Just go do your Space Jam. Don't do that. Did it bother you at all that he's already moved on? The exit didn't mean anything?
Well, I'm one of those guys that knows that Kobe's Kobe, Jordan's Jordan. We got to stop expecting LeBron to all of a sudden turn into Jordan and Kobe. LeBron is LeBron. They're all great. But LeBron is so successful in his whole life because he only worries about what he can control. And when you do that, you're happier, you're more at peace, and you get more accomplished. But when you sit around and worry about things you can't control, you don't get anything done. I salute LeBron. It probably wasn't what everybody wanted to hear after a loss, all the Lakers fans, but he knows, hey, I can't go take this game back. I got to go on with my life anyway, and I got a movie that I got to promote. Might as well start now.
That's a good take. I like that. Steven Jackson, great seeing you as always. Continued success on your podcast, which is outstanding. Thanks, bud.
Thanks, my man. Good to see you.